All right, after the end of the podcast and you hear the closing jingle, stick around for an interview with Adam Gamal. It's a book I just read called The Unit. I hadn't read it. I wish we would have talked to him before the I mean, after I had read the book, because the interview would have been totally different. But it's still very fascinating, and the book is called The Unit, and we'll talk about that with him after the closing jingle.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one.
An extra.
That's how we get the podcast. The podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast. The podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast.
Your son!
I'm just your little son!
I'm your son!
You guys know where that's from?
Nope.
Y'all don't remember that? You've never seen the I'm Your Son?
This kid goes video. This kid goes into a restaurant and he took the cup. It was like a
restaurant glass. You know, little plastic cups. Kind
of. Yeah. He took it with him and had it in the car. And his mom was like, I'm taking you. I got to call the police now because you stole it. And he's like, no, we can go back. No, it's too late. No, son, I have to turn you into the police. You stole that cup. And he falls apart.
He lost it.
Wow.
He's crying. He's like,
I'm your son.
I'm your little son.
I'm just your little son.
Oh my gosh, it's so great. And you know what? That's good parenting because that kid will never steal a thing in his life.
That's right. Absolutely.
Man, I'm kind of embarrassed now because I didn't realize people really listen to the podcast. Like, I knew we have some people that are like, super 17ers that are like, they love the show and whatever. But, like, I didn't realize, like, industry people in broadcast listen as well.
Yeah.
That kind of blew me away because I was talking with somebody. And they're kind of a big wig in one of the big broadcast companies. They're like, yeah, I listen to your podcast this week. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
Might need to try a little harder.
Yeah, because
that's what I thought too.
I'm like, because that's what he said. He goes, there's no structure.
Yeah, well,
that's correct.
But I mean, that's no different than the show.
Right.
It doesn't have any structure either.
What's this podcast about anyway?
I don't know. Who knows?
So the pressure is on.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, have you all checked into your flight yet?
Yes.
It's
our boarding positions are A54, 55, 56.
Yeah, doing the podcast a day early because we have to.
We also paid for the early bird check-in.
Yeah, I do.
So it did for us.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're heading to.
We're A's?
I mean, I got the email, nice. So I just wanted to make sure.
Good.
We're headed to.
Oh, I watched the clock. I had the countdown down.
Heading to Baton Rouge, Gonzalez, actually, for Rock the Country, Kid Rock. It's just a small show. Kid Rock, Jason Aldean, Miranda, Hank Williams Jr., Leonard Skinner, Coe Wetzel, Brantley Gilbert, Travis Tritt, Lee Bryce, Randy Houser, Warren Zeiders, Big and Rich, Gretchen Wilson, Uncle Cracker, Tyler Farr.
Do you think any of those folks are going to make it?
I don't know. I hope there's going to be some good music there.
It's like a 4-week festival.
Slammed into one weekend.
Yeah. So anyway, it'll be a lot of fun. We'll be there and doing hosting, whatever stuff. So it'll be fun. Also, we're going to hang out with John with his booze, Redneck Riviera stuff that we're doing a broadcast.
I don't even know what it's all about. I just know they were like, hey, are you available? Like,
You'll be doing a remote with that. And we've actually got something else to talk about after the podcast.
Why don't we change the name of that? Like, as an industry, you know, maybe because we have some radio bigwigs listening. Remote. When we say, oh, we have a remote. And you hear people talking about we have a remote. What is a remote? A remote
turns
is
your
this
TV.
Thing. Yeah. You, mm-hmm. It's a clicker, like your dad would call it. And it's whatever. A remote. Meaning a remote broadcast, an on-location, on-site thing. But I've always hated the word a remote.
All right, so do you want to use appearance?
We always used to say broadcast.
We would just say live broadcast. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know. I
on
don't know.
Location. If, I don't know.
Can we call it a clicker? That makes as much sense.
a clicker.
We got a clicker this weekend.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, I kind of like that.
Right? It's very inside.
Yeah.
If you know, you know.
Remember the here's what's happening, da 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 da, and you'd have a little jingle, and then like all the DJs, whoever got stuck doing that production for the week, production meaning, you know, the commercial, they would have to go, all right, be on the lookout for Big D and Bubba. They're going to be at this place and this place and this place on this day and at this time. Then so-and-so and blah, blah, blah will be out at here, and they would do that. You don't really get a whole lot of that anymore.
Well, I mean, that's a lot of information. People are like, I'm sorry, what?
I don't even know what you're talking about anymore. There was so much.
It's been a while, man. All that stuff's changed. I mean,
industry.
It's a
radio forgets how sexy it is. And, you know, we've talked about this so many times. Radio is so awesome. Look at all the mediums out there. TV is suffering. I mean, cable television is dying tremendously. Like, they used to be in almost 200 million homes. Now you're talking about a fraction of that. That is
like
crazy.
30.
Like 30 million homes. That's how many people are now streaming and doing a la carte and all that kind of stuff.
Went from 120 to 30.
Mm. Well, TV just changed platforms. TV's still TV.
Right, but I'm
it's
saying
just
like,
now it's on the internet and not through.
Man,
know,
I watch,
watch
it's
it
funny
the tube
because
anymore.
I actually am like Big D. Was 2 years ago, he was watching YouTube all the time, and I'm like, what are you doing watching YouTube? You're like, oh, that's my TV.
It is.
And I found myself here in the last 6 months becoming that guy. I watch more YouTube than I do any of the other stuff. I'm like, why am I still paying for Hulu?
Yeah, man. For sure.
I pay the extra bucks. It's like $5 or whatever it is, so I don't have to watch commercials on there.
That's nine.
Nine? Okay. Yeah. it's automatic.
I would highly recommend that.
Yeah, it's great because it doesn't interrupt your stuff.
Because they started selling stuff in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you'll be watching video and it just stops and it's like tied. But yeah, you don't have any of that. I fell in love with the YouTube app as my TV platform. Yeah, like you said, several years ago, because it once you and you need to like have like an account, like create a free account,
and you got
to
be careful what you watch though,
because it'll just like TikTok or anything else, it'll start giving you more of what you're looking for, or what you watch, and it tailors it to what you like, so it's like your own network.
Mine right now is almost all cars and 4K beaches. I watch a lot of 4K beach stuff. So you watch it in super high def, and I use my TV as a window, and I'll just throw the beach on, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's where I am right now.
Yes.
Like, you know, just,
I do too, man.
I'll sit on the sofa, and I'll watch I'll put the ceiling fan on high so it's blowing like a wind, and I'll just sit there, and I'll watch the water. Whoosh,
yeah.
Whoosh.
You know what I saw the other day was somebody made a CGI – a CGI environment that you could like kind of move around in a room.
Okay.
You know, like
for
know.
Like VR?
Yeah, no, it was on a flat screen, but the scene was a computer with an old like Windows computer, and it had the MP3 Llama Winamp. You remember the Winamp?
Winamp, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It had that thing on there, and it's got all the and it's got the like a cassette tape that's on the side, and there's a pencil through one of the sides, and it's holding it up at an angle. Had
you
all
wind
this,
it.
Yeah, it was like all the stuff that you would have seen in that era, 98, I guess, or whatever it was. And I was like, yeah, remember that we used to when you went to your computer at your house. You guys remember what you had? You had a big thing of CDs, and they were in that plastic thing, and that's what you
on the spindle.
Yep, and you would pull one out and put it in and write, well,
whatever
put
you
music
on it.
I remember putting when you could put music onto a CD, a compact disc, blew my brain.
I will go a step further. So I've always been a very early adopter. Do you remember when I got the writable CD DVR, basically? So what I would do is instead of recording on VHS, I was recording everything on DVD.
Yes.
And it was about an 8-month window where it was like cutting edge technology, and then DVRs came out.
Yep.
And everything was on hard drive. And I was like, oh, I just wasted a ton of money.
Yep.
I've got boxes, cases of blank DVRs because I bought a bunch of them. I'm like, oh, I'm never going to, you know, not need this. But I was using the rewritables so I could just record over shows once I watched them.
The rewritables.
Like, this is so great. And then DVR and waste of money.
Mm-hmm. And now we have so much tera, what do you call it? Tera,
terabytes.
Terabytes. So much, what am I trying to say?
Storage.
Thank you. Jeez. It's like on a little thumb drive.
Yeah.
It's like 3 terabytes on a thumb drive.
Dude, there was a phone. I was looking at a phone the other day because I needed a new one. The phone itself had 1 terabyte of storage on it.
Wow.
On a phone.
Jeez.
Like, that's insane.
No.
I have, the one I got was like the biggest I could get at the time, and I've had this phone for, it feels like forever, and it was, what is it, 256 or something like that? And I'm like, and I've used that, and I've had to delete so much stuff off of it to keep it, you know, there. So I'm like, do I want to go to the 512, or do I want to just go the full terabyte and just
terabyte,
be done with it?
Just go.
But it's expensive.
Well, yeah, but.
But I also hang on to phones for a long time.
Right, so.
I don't know. I feel like we're in this weird loop where whenever we get more storage, they just make the programs bigger. Like the Facebook app is gigantic.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, if it's on your phone, yeah.
Oh, I should take that off.
Yeah.
I have it on. I never use it.
Well, I thought you got off of Facebook.
I did, but I still have it. Like, it's still on my phone.
Okay.
But I don't. I never get on. Once in a while, like a message or something will pop up, and I'll like, what is that? It's like, oh, happy birthday from 4 years ago. Oh, thanks. Do you guys reply to every one of those happy birthdays?
Nope.
No.
I don't either. I used to try. Yeah, when it first happened, and with Facebook, it ruined birthdays.
It did.
Actually, it didn't ruin it for me because now I actually know people's birthdays. Because I never did before.
Well, that's true. But it's like everyone feels that
even today, our friend Chloe, her birthday was today. I had no idea, but I was at least able to reach out to her and be like, hey, happy birthday.
Mm, yeah, I guess so.
And for me, I'm not a birthday person, so then it makes me feel obligated. Like, oh, okay, yeah, happy birthday. Thankfully, they autofill it on Facebook now. They, throw the balloon emojis and, a cake on there.
But that means nothing, though, because everybody's doing it.
Yeah. Excuse me, I put in the effort of starting to type H-A.
She wouldn't say, ha-ha. This is dumb, ha-ha.
I am looking right now, so the biggest thing I have in my phone is 168 gigs of photos. What in the world do I have that
How
many
much
photos
of that is
for?
Video?
I have no idea. Yeah, Facebook itself, like Twitter, the Twitter app is 1.5 gigs.
It's wild.
For a Twitter app? What? Facebook is 1.27. That's crazy.
Insane, man. Insane. I think, with all the AI things and technology, what are we going to be doing? I feel like we're just about to launch into it.
The next big thing?
The next thing. I mean, you see the commercials, the videos that are all AI, and they are trying to sell you whatever. It looks like a girl in her car going, man, I don't know about you guys, but my skin, it just doesn't feel quite right. So I've been using this new moisturizing cream. It's all AI.
It's a fake person?
It's a fake person. And they're like, people are like, hey, something's off. And now they're like, okay, here's how you can tell. Look at the lips. Fingers are weird.
Fingers.
Eyes. Yeah. Eyes are weird. Even though the blink, it's kind of has that dead stare kind of sometimes. And all the little micro movements that your eyes do and your face, you don't realize you get all these muscles in your face. It's all firing. And right now we can kind of tell. It depends on who. Like my dad wouldn't know.
Right.
But and I'm kind of getting to that point where I can't tell. But in a year we won't know at all. And then it's like, well, why do we need actors?
Mm-hmm. I was going to say you need the voice actors.
But no, you don't.
Technically, no, you don't.
Nope.
Because
that's a big contention in the voice world right now. The amount of jobs that I get that are like, hey, we want to use your voice. Here's 500 lines of dialogue, and we're using it to clone, and we're going to do AI with it. And people are like rebelling against it because if you're training it, and let's say they throw you what you think is a big sum of money, that if they're going to use it in perpetuity, that they now have access to your voice and to let it do whatever it wants for how long?
Yeah.
Decades?
And we've tried that. We've tried to clone ours, and it was kind of a fail. Like, it doesn't have... reading a script is fine, but trying to instill emotion and mm-hmm. comedic timing and all that stuff. It's not there yet. It can't do it. But how many of those videos do you watch on YouTube or TikTok where you hear the guy going, and this is how the thing happened?
It's the same voice.
It's the same voice all the time. And it's actually not a bad voice. It's a very mm-hmm. good read.
Well, it's kind of the Wish.com Morgan Freeman voice that I hear all the time on those videos.
Oh, yeah. I do too. The fake
Like the
Morgan.
Degrade Morgan Freeman.
Yeah,
it's a bit annoying.
Yeah, it is. And sometimes you'll see it on like TV commercials. I've seen like one television spot that did it, and I was kind of like, it's,
yeah,
it comes off kind of cheap.
Just every time I hear that voice, I'm waiting to go to Zay Wataneo and, you know, reunite with Andy
Zay
down
Wataneo.
There.
Wow, that's a trivia question.
Yeah,
that's where they end up going after in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about Shawshank Redemption last podcast.
Yeah. We should. It's the greatest movie of all time.
You think it's the greatest ever?
No, I say that just to say that. But
it's
pretty
perfect.
It is one of those perfect films. Like, for the type of comedy it is, Ferris Bueller is a perfect film.
Oh, Ferris Bueller, absolutely.
For that type of genre of movie, mm-hmm. perfect film. Back to the Future, the first one.
Perfect. They actually call that the best movie ever made.
I thought Die Hard was supposed to be the best one technically ever made.
No.
I'll be honest, I liked Armageddon.
I
think
too.
As a movie,
Me
Bruce
too.
Willis and
how about Space Cowboys?
I
not
don't
bad.
Think I've ever seen
oh,
all
like,
of
if you
Space
like
Cowboys.
It's like the
I've seen
old
the
guy
end.
Armageddon.
I've seen the end, and that's the saddest thing. And I'm like, I don't want to watch this. I know how it ends.
I know you don't watch scary movies, but the It franchise is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is maybe better than the first.
Yeah, the reboot. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Christopher Nolan Batman movies.
Yeah,
were pretty
second
good.
Christopher Nolan, the Heath Ledger one. To me, that it was it. The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
The pencil.
I thought the Joker was good.
I never saw the Joker.
It's starting to trickle out now about the Joker sequel with Lady Gaga in it.
It's rated R for brief full frontal nudity.
Really? Mm-hmm. Of Batman?
Of her?
I don't know. That's I don't know if it's him. I don't know if it's her. I don't know if it's going to be Batman.
We need to know that.
Is it what's his name? Edward? Is
no,
be
he's in a different franchise.
Oh.
He's in a different Batman. He's the Batman.
Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix. I went and saw it at the theater, and I think it's a brilliant film, but it's so disturbing. I don't know if I'm ever going to watch this again. I don't know if I'm, but I'm going to go see the sequel. Absolutely. I want to see what they do with it.
Huh. I've never seen the first one.
It's mostly going to be a musical, really.
What?
There's going to be a ton of music in the second Joker movie.
Okay.
Was there a lot in the first one?
No.
There's none.
Mm-mm. No.
Did you see the first one?
It's not going to be it's loosely going to be a musical. It's not going to be West Side Story like that, but it's loosely going to be in a musical.
It's going to have what's his name? Doogie Howser in it.
Neil Patrick Harris.
He's always in everything semi-musical.
He's
like,
great.
It's like, yeah, dude, here's a little Batman tie-in. He was in Batman the Bold and Beautiful cartoon as the Music Meister. And he was like this bad guy who would hypnotize people with songs.
Yeah, nerd alert just went off. You lost me.
The Music Meister was great.
No. I do like a good musical. I ain't gonna lie. Mm-hmm.
Depends on what it is. Yeah. I've seen bad ones too.
I did get to see Phantom of the Opera actually in Broadway, and that was fantastic.
Was it? God, I finally went to go see Phantom, and I was like,
Carson,
I go. This is terrible.
Okay, I saw Les Miserables, and it was terrible.
My seats were right there. I mean, the chandelier came down on me, but I was like, this isn't romantic.
The chandelier was
right
above me.
This guy is kidnapping her.
Well, yeah.
It's terrible.
Oh,
you can't look at it
with,
you can't look at it with 2024 eyes and sensibilities.
It's highly problematic.
I go, this is the romantic musical people have been telling me since I was four that I needed to go see. Like, I was not impressed.
I love it.
I mean, I liked the very 80s, like, da, 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 like synthesizer. The music, the first song is okay, the Phantom of the Opera. But otherwise, I was like, man, it did not live up to what I thought the hype was.
What's the one with the hand by your head or whatever?
Hand at the level of your eyes.
Yes.
Oh, boy, I wish I could take that.
By the way, I haven't seen Hamilton yet. I haven't seen any form of
Hamilton is
yet.
Spectacular.
Hamilton is really good.
It is.
Again.
Is it online?
It's not.
Yes,
yeah, it's
Disney
on Disney.
Plus.
I should check
it
out.
Is it on YouTube? I'll have Disney Plus. It took me 4 weeks to get rid of Disney Plus.
You can have my Disney.
Yeah, the
Disney
guy that plus plays King George is like my favorite thing.
He's awesome.
He's so great.
I love the fact that they leave him spitting in
it. Yeah, he's awesome.
Like, it's because it's
King
so
George.
Perfect.
Oh, he's so great. And I like he's in Mindhunter. He's like this crazy versatile actor. Like I just adore him. Every
What's
time I see
Mindhunter?
Him. It's a show on, I think it's Netflix, and it only had two seasons, unfortunately, but it was basically showing the two FBI guys that developed profiling for serial killers.
Oh, wow.
And it's all based on like them. They were trying to catch BTK, but then they end up talking to who's the guy
BTK, the K-pop group?
Yes. Find, torture, kill. But okay.
I don't know who BTK is.
You don't know the BTK killer?
No.
Oh, okay.
You guys know I don't know any of that stuff. I know you watch all the Lifetime.
Yes.
That's, you'd like that. So, I think you'd like that show.
It's really?
Yeah.
Mindhunter?
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I watched Manhunt, Unabomber, or something like that. Is it not related?
Of course you did.
It was the guy from. It was the guy from Avatar.
No, the one she's talking about is they went and talked to the serial killers
and
get a whole thing.
Somebody who was next to Manson in California. And it was they developed profiles to be able to track down serial killers. It was really well done.
That's where they came up with the three things that they all had in common. All serial killers at the time had in common. They tortured animals, bedwetting, and played with fire. All those three things. And so that was kind of the start of, hey.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a really good show. And people were upset that we thought there was going to be a season three. I don't know why there wasn't. They should.
You know, they have enough
was it
serial
live
killers.
Live action or was it one of those? Okay.
Yeah, it's like
No, but I mean, it's a scripted television show.
So it's not a documentary.
No.
Okay, see, I thought it was a documentary.
No, scripted television.
But it's based off. Like they get the killers are look like the real killers.
Oh, yeah.
And they use like real clips from the audio that they did the interviews on in the show too. So you can kind of hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mindhunter is worth the watch.
Okay. For sure.
I'll check that out. I hate cutting this short, but we do have some things that we have to take care of. I know Schaefer's got something he wants to talk to us about with off the podcast. But if you've never listened to the podcast and this is your first one, this is nothing like the podcast before it, which was nothing like the podcast before
it.
Nothing like the podcast. There's no rhyme or reason to these things. So definitely check out several of them. Many people have actually started from episode one and listened. Mm-hmm. They go like as they're doing road trips or maybe they're getting ready for vacation. You can listen for 100 billion episodes. Yeah. What is it? Like 400. Garrett, where are we at? Is Garrett even here?
469.
Yeah. 469.
And then they get through a certain portion of it and go, what happened to that Patrick guy?
We explain all that too.
So make sure you like all the stuff and give us all the stars. It helps with the algorithm.
All the stars.
Yeah, so you see a star go all the way to
subscribe and all the stars.
Yes. So there you go.
So thank you. And coming up right after the closing jingle, for those of you who missed it on the actual radio show, it's a book I just read. It's fantastic. It's called The Unit with Adam Gamal. We'll tell you all about that in a second. If you're watching on YouTube, well, you'll have to listen to that on the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
This was the podcast, but now it's over.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show
just
on the radio every day.
In the U.S. military, a team that is a really secretive military team that is just, it's really classified. The members are like ghosts in the military. It's called, the book is called The Unit. Adam Gamal is joining us. Adam, good morning. How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing
great. How are you?
We're good, man. We're good. So we're really fascinated with this. So first off, Adam, it's not his real name, it's a pseudonym to protect him and his family and whatnot. But he has his awards include the Bronze Star Medal, the Purple Heart, and Legion of Merit. God knows what he's doing. But was involved in this unit that's so secret that like no one knows anything about it. And so now you've got this book out called The Unit. So what were you guys doing?
So if I tell you, I have to kill you.
Yeah.
So the unit, actually, it's not Delta. So a lot of people think the unit is Delta, but there are other units called the unit because their names, the names of the entity itself is classified. So this organization I was in, the actual name is classified. So we called it the unit. But our main mission was finding bad guys, fixing bad guys, preparing the battlefield for other Joint Special Operation Command units to execute targets. This is from counter-terrorism, counter-narcotics to hostage rescue. I obviously we're not going to go into means and methods, how we were doing those things, because those things are classified. DOD were gracious enough to have an open discussion with me for over a year, going back and forth to come up with the book, to approve what they can approve and take away what they needed to take away. So we were able to tell some of the story or some of the stories while balancing between telling a story and maintaining the safety and security of missions, safety of current and former unit members, and protecting national security interests.
How much of the book, whenever you submitted your first draft, how much of the book came back and they're like, yeah, you got to cut this, et cetera?
So the first, it took them actually about 11 months to give me back the manuscript with the redaction. And I got it in an evening. The redaction were ugly. I was depressed. And I was like, how in the hell can I make this a book?
You're right.
So we had a lawyer, Mark Zaid, is one of the biggest lawyers in the industry for that. And Mark was like, we'll just take him to court and sue them. And I said, no, I don't want to sue them. I don't. Obviously, I am extremely protective of what the unit does. I wanted to, to keep them doing what they're doing because it's great for America. They protect in America. So I asked to sit with them. We sat for about 4 hours. I went to the Pentagon. We sat in one small secured room. There was a lawyer from them, gave me my copy and the redacted copy, and then we went over page by page. We had to submit the pictures for approvals. So there was a good amount taken out of the book. So again, to balance between national security interests and tell a story, we were walking a very fine line. But again, I wanted to thank DOD security personnel for being extremely professional about the whole process. Honestly, I give them credit, and I understood exactly why they were doing what they were doing. And I have no regret. I wrote the book the way how it's written.
Yeah, obviously you understand the security and whatnot because you were there. You were the tip of the spear. And and it's a very interesting thing too, because you're native Egyptian, but yet you fought in the United States Army in the most exclusive unit out there.
Honestly, that tells you how great America is. And I mean it, and I tell people that. I said, if I stayed in Egypt, and if Egypt has a unit like this, which most likely doesn't, but if it does have a unit like this, I would have never made it, even as a native Egyptian, because what family you came from, what was your last name, what's this, what's that. So you have to have all of these check the blocks, where America is, it gives you a fair shot. Did I face discrimination in the military? I'd be lying if I said no. But it's not what defines the military. It's not what defines the U.S. So having a fair process, it means that you make it to where you make it based on merit. If you work your butt off, you work really hard, you do all the right things, you'll make it. And that's part of the reason I wrote the book, is like I wanted to inspire people, especially people from the immigrant community or people who are at any disadvantage. When I joined the Army, I am still a 5'1 guy. I didn't get any taller. But I was 112 pounds when I joined the military. When I joined the unit, I was 128 pounds.
Wow.
So when I went to free fall school to jump out of airplanes, they give me a weight belt that I have to wear to be heavier so I can land with everybody else.
Oh, wow.
The guys used to be like, hey, man, everybody's coming down and you're going up.
if it was us, they'd be like, why are you already on the ground? We haven't even jumped yet. I don't have to do that. Adam Cabal is with us. The book is called The Unit. My Life Fighting Terrorists is One of America's Most Secret Military Operatives. It's just called The Unit. It's kind of a term. The name is classified, and Adam was a pseudonym and has been in this and has been retired in what, 20? What year did you retire? 2016?
2016. April 1st, 2016. To the point all my buddies thought it was April Fool's Day. They thought I would never retire.
Yeah. So now what do you want to do? So you got the book out. Is there any talk of doing a movie? I don't know how far you want to take this.
I would love to make a movie. And since you have a lot of, since I think you guys air on AFN as well.
We do.
I wanted to send a message to the troops out there. Keep doing what you're doing. The military is a great job. Honestly, it was great for me. It was great for me after I left the military. I have been extremely successful. after I left the military, and all of that based on what I've learned in the military. But making a movie, I would love to. If somebody comes and tells us, hey, we want to make a movie, I'll be jumping all over that again. Maybe you see me in the background. If you didn't know me, you'd be like, here's another Arab-looking guy.
Yeah.
But my wife told me she has to be in the movie. So
all right.
She might be in.
Who do you want? Who would you want to play you as in the movie?
You know, I would love. It's very unfortunate. I don't look like Brad Pitt, but he would have been like a good guy. Like, I think people would think like I'm a tall, blonde, good-looking guy. But
yeah,
no, I don't care. I'm assuming any great actor with features that look like mine. I don't think he's going to be my height. I'm very rare height, but hopefully we can find a good one.
Well, I just spent $17 to get the audiobook just now. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's right up our alley, man.
I'm going to read this with my ears starting tonight. I'm so pumped.
It's called The Unit. My Life-Fighting Terrorist is One of America's Most Secret Military Operatives, The Unit. Again, the book's called The Unit, Adam Gamal. Adam, thanks for your service for our country. It is truly an honor, and thank you for your service. And
I hope this helps with recruitment.
We're
not hitting our numbers right now, and I think this is a good opportunity for us to say this. If you are coming out of high school, or maybe you've been out of high school a couple of years, and you just feel like your life has no direction, no plan, no whatever, Adam is the guy. He's a guy who came over from Egypt and worked his way up through our military.
He's 5'1", 112 pounds.
Yeah.
Became one of the most elite units in our military. If he can do it, I might be able to. Maybe. I don't know.
And guys, honestly, that's one of the reasons I was hoping the book will get. Like, we're not meeting our recruiting numbers. Hopefully the book will help. And I did have people reaching out to me on Twitter, X now. We are at the unit _ Gamal. And I did have people reaching out to me who were not thinking about joining the military. After reading the book, they wanted to join the military, so hopefully that will help. And I do appreciate people telling me thank you for my service, and I answer them thank you for allowing me to serve.
Well, yeah. Good stuff. Adam, all the best, and thank you for doing this. Looking forward to seeing you. Maybe a movie. Maybe it's going to be Brad Pitt. You don't know.
You never know.
That's right.
He's too ugly.
Thanks,
Brad Pitt's too ugly.
That's right. This guy, this loser. Adam, thanks. We appreciate you, man.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.